Welcome to Digger Man Sports. It's your boy Digger Man coming live to you all the way from the ATL. However, we represent the 49ers to the fullest. That's where our heart is. That's what we love. It's your home of the San Francisco 49ers. Jump in. Welcome to another episode of Digger Man Sports. And let me just say, I got to get something off my chest. And we're going to start today with what's popping. What's popping, you ask? Or shall I say it? Jimmy to the G. Goo-wop Garoppolo. Here we go, y'all. It has been clearly stated that we are in need of wide receivers for the 49ers. Let's go back to week one against the Arizona Cardinals. It was highly noted by so many analysts, different shows. Oh, the 49ers are in trouble. Deebo Samuels is hurt. They don't have wide receivers. They only have George Kittle. And when I go back and review the game and look at all the tape, the footage, I see clearly wide receivers, running backs, tight ends open. They're open. I got to be a fair witness, guys. Jimmy has got to improve. The last play of the game, 4th and 5, I believe it was. Jimmy, first of all, he threw the ball late on a breaking Trent Taylor on an out, 5-yard out. And because it was thrown late and slightly behind him, the defender, the cornerback, was able to defend the ball and knock it away. That same exact play, Dante Pettis was on the opposite side, the left side. Clearly ran beyond the first down marker and did a crisp curl. Jimmy never looked to that side. Mind you, the defender continued on to the end zone again while Pettis stopped on the dime on the curl. Well beyond the first down marker and potentially with the room that he created on that stop and turn, a touchdown, possibly. Either way, the change would have moved for a first down. Let me give you another example of my frustration with Jimmy. Jimmy missed a wide open Raheem Mostert on a route in which, a wheel route at that, which the defender tried to bump him off his route. And he did kind of bump him, but Raheem fought through it and should have had a second touchdown reception for the game. Jimmy looked away because he felt as though that defender had impeded the process of that route. However, Raheem brushed him off after a slight bump within that 5-yard cushion, and he was wide open. Wide open. Now, another player that stands out to me was Kendrick Bourne. The safety came up on the play to cheat and double on George Kittle. And when he broke on the route, Kendrick Bourne, when he broke on that post, the cornerback was still pedaling backwards in a straight beeline to the end zone while he was cutting to the middle of the field. And a clear touchdown. These missed opportunities caused the 49ers to lose in week one to the Arizona Cardinals. And I can't take anything from the Cardinals. They played well. However, there were enough plays that we left on the table as a team that would have allowed us to win the game. So that's what I have for what's popping. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back in a few minutes. All right, Digger Man is back with you. I'm back with you. So let's talk about week two and the opponent we have in the Jets. We'll be traveling to the East Coast for 2 weeks in a row, actually. Both teams out of New York, the Jets first, and then we'll have the Giants the week after that. But let's stick with week two for right now. Now, the 49ers will rebound this week, and I know we'll be short some of our studs. Kittle is out, along with D Ford, and even Richard Sherman. So, but the good thing is it's the Jets. So clean up a few little things, a few little detail things, and get back to the basics. And I see this really being an easy win. Actually, the Jets have some injuries themselves. I know Jamison Crowder, and actually Le'Veon, who was injured in week one, is out for the season. I believe it was ruptured Achilles, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, the recipe for success is there. And it's simple. It is so simple that you don't even look too far back to understand what needs to happen. The first thing that needs to happen, look at the playoffs from last year. The way you dominated Green Bay and the Minnesota Vikings up front in the trenches on the offensive side of the ball will also lead to the way you dominate on the defensive side of the ball. Mano a mano, man to man, impose your will and let him get off. Heem has to have more touches from the running perspective to go along with his touches, you know, coming out of the backfield. But we got to set the tone early and often. Man, did you see the way Trent Williams laid out Hicks, the linebacker for the Cardinals last week? My God. When I tell you, you can't tell this man has been out of football for a year. He fired off on this guy second level. So not only did he clear a pathway in the trenches, but then he went on to clean up a linebacker at the next level. It was so nasty. I mean, it could have been a penalty in my mind. It was just that nasty. But get to the basics. Let him do his work early and often. When you spare him, I don't care if it's McKinnon, if it's Coleman, go back to them with the same plan. Open your play action pass game up. That simple. That easy. Nothing else to talk about. Nothing else to think about. Don't overthink it. You don't have to. That's the game plan. Kyle, listen to me. That's the game plan. And I understand Kittle is out. But I'm telling you, if you haven't or if you need a tight end for this week in fantasy, pick up Jordan Reed. He should have a monster day today. He's had a wonderful camp. He's healthy. He's feeling good. He's excited about football. And
he actually played pretty well last week. I think we could have went to the double tight end set a little more last week, especially with Jimmy not connecting the way he should have, missing some opportunities, whether it was with the running backs, the receivers, again, or the tight ends as well. So let's stick to that plan. That should ensure that we increase our third down efficiency, which was terrible last week. I think it was 2 for 11. And when that happens, the defense gets tired, especially early in the season. Everybody hasn't, you know, developed their win. Their season win is what I call it. And if we if we improve on our third down efficiencies, then the D line automatically is much better, which in turn makes the secondary much better. And again, with Sherman being out and Ford being out, we do have some really good rotational guys. And if we utilize those guys, and instead of creating pressures, but actually sealing the deal with some sacks, there is no way why we should not come out victorious. I'm calling the score already 31-13, 49ers with an easy win. Should be very easy. Now, let me take another break. And, you know, I got to share something with you. One more thing that happened last week in week one. Really sad, but we'll get into it when I come back. Thanks. Be right back with you. Okay, guys. Let's go. Let's pick it up. Here we go. Now, last week in the game against the Cardinals, the actual play when George Kittle was injured, Buda Baker made a hell of a play, actually. I thought it was a bang-bang play and just a good stop on his part. And again, Kittle came up a little gimpy. Well, after the game, not sure what day, but, you know, we talk about the social justice that we're dealing with and the climate right now in this world. And, you know, one thing, you try to look at sports as a way to kind of calm things down or allow people to kind of mesh together. And I understand we still have the social distancing and no fans in the stadium and things of that nature. It's very limited. So a 49er fan actually reached out to Buda Baker, and it was really sad. But I got to give a big ups to Buda first and foremost by the way he handled it. And let me just get into it. Simply, Buda on IG, he simply just said, I'm all good with opposing fans talking trash. But this right here, man, all you can do is pray for people like this. And, you know, I don't want to just, you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to read what the guy said. I don't want to read it verbatim. But anyway, it went like this. What's up, Monkey A Ninja? You're going to get a bounty on your effing monkey a head, you effing dirty ninja. Trying to go after the knees. You think we blind, you dirty monkey ninja. Get on your knees, you F slave. Before you blow your own knees out, you mother F ninja. So sad, so sad. And these are the things that, you know, we as Black Americans have and continue to deal with. And it just made me think of a situation just recently here. I have a 7-year-old son, and I'm at work and I get a call from my daughter and she was kind of just very frantic. She's like, Dad, I hope you're not busy. You talk to your son. I'm like, calm down, baby. What's going on? And she began to tell me that he was afraid because my wife accidentally set off the house alarm. And, you know, if you don't reset the alarm or if you can't get to the phone timely, send the police. So make a long story short, I said, let me speak to your brother. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? And he was like, Dad, you got to come home. You got to come home and protect us. And I'm like, why, buddy? What's going on? Mommy set the alarm off. And I said, it's okay. It's okay. No, Dad, you don't understand. There's a white policeman getting out of his car coming to the door. And I'm like, oh, my God. At that moment, I froze for a second because in my mind, I'm like, this is how we continue to keep the narrative going with everything that's in the news. And as hard as we fight for change, this, when our young people see these type of things in the news, what's going on, and they're understanding what's going on in the world today, they develop that fear instantly. And it becomes difficult to, you know, change or break the chain that has been already connected over the years. And my son is almost in tears on the phone. And he said, Daddy, you protect us. Come home. He's going to hurt my mommy. Imagine you're at work and a young black male, 7 years old, has already created a fear for white policemen. And I had to explain to him, and I've already been explaining to him, that, son, in this world, and you'll find in your profession, no matter what, you're going to have some good people and you're going to have some bad people. You're going to have some people that make bad decisions, really bad choices in life. And for him at that moment, that didn't mean shit. All he knew is that he was fearful of his mother's safety, his safety, and his sister's safety. And he understood that, Daddy, you are our protector and you're not here. It hurt me. It really did. So I just say all that to say, we have a long fight in front of us with social injustice and racism in America. And please, please, please take this opportunity to use your voters' rights of this upcoming election, not even just this election, all elections, every opportunity that you can express your voice, you can vote, do so. We have got to break this chain, this cycle. And the flip side of that is, for those on the other side, if they're seeing these things and they're hearing it from a parent, a family member, a friend, and no one corrects what they've heard, that chain remains where it is. And it makes it more difficult to break it and change it. So I got to give a shout out to George Kittle and even the 49ers organization. First of all, George replied immediately and just, you know, he basically went in and just, you know, said there is no room for racism in America, and he supported Buddha, and also he commented on the fact that Buddha was one of the first players outside of his teammates, you know, basically giving him a shout out once he received his new contract. And he also stated that he and Buddha have a respectful professional relationship. He felt like there was nothing malicious behind it, and he told him if that same play happened again, you know, do your job. The 49ers, the organization, they came out with a statement basically saying, hey, we are investigating who this individual is, and when they find out, that they would, you know, in their power, make sure that this particular fan has no access to the team. Once things are normalized, will not be allowed to any games. And basically try to isolate this individual from being affiliated with the organization. Thought that was really huge and outstanding for them to respond so timely and really support George and the way he feels as a person first, then a professional athlete. Yeah. So, you know, the climate has continues to, I'm going to say, rise. But we still, like, again, we still have a lot of room to fight and change. Okay. Now, hey, looks as though Kawhi has gone home. Looks as though Kawhi has gone home and the Lakers are licking their chops. I hope the Lakers are not overconfident because it seems as though each series, Denver starts out slow. And I can only assume and attest that to all the game sevens. You know, they're taking each series to the wire and exerting a lot of energy and a lot of effort to sealing the deal. That first game, I never saw the Lakers talk so much. I mean, it was a little different. Everybody was, you know, in your face type deal, talking trash throughout the game. And typically those guys, they don't do that. So I like the Lakers. However, I think they need to be a little careful because Denver has shown that they can erupt. And if it gets that game seven, let's just say the chances may fall a little more slightly favorable for Denver. But some good stuff, man, some good stuff. I mean, again, I think I mentioned it in last week's podcast, how we have all the different sports just at one time. And you know, you find yourself really utilizing your DVR, trying to make sure that you record your favorite team or maybe your favorite player while so many things are conflicting from a time perspective. Gotta love my Braves right now. Freed is coming back now, as well as Acuna is back. He was injured for a quick minute. Ozzie's back. And, not only is Freed back, we're also getting, my memory fails me right now. But anyway, the pitching staff basically is getting healthy. So, you know, about to make that run. No, we're in first place. However, we need to separate ourselves. It's not really a true home field advantage, I would say. They have a great opportunity to really go deep in the postseason and hopefully make it to the World Series for this season. They're putting up some monster numbers, hitting a lot of home runs and scoring a lot. So if we can solidify that pitching staff, the starting pitching staff, that starting rotation, then I see the Braves making some noise. The last thing we'll get into, it's almost game time here for week two. I guess a couple of picks, you know, I already gave you one, lock pick, 49ers over the Jets. I see the, Buccaneers coming back this week, to defeat the Panthers at home with their home opener. I think one game to be a little scary of, I think it's going to be sneaky. It's the Jaguars and Titans game. I think the Jaguars will be a little scrappy this year. And Minshew Mania, I believe, is for real. So if you need a quarterback, if you don't like your matchups, go ahead and take a look at Gardner Minshew for the Jaguars. They're at home, and he's a gamer. He's a gamer. He's going to put up some good numbers this year. Who else? Who else is playing today? So it's the home opener for the Raiders. They're going against New Orleans. So the first time Allegiant Field will be open. Too bad the fans can't be there to crescent it, but the players, I'm sure they'll be excited. Those guys going out west, I think it'll be a close game. New Orleans will pull it out. 27-23. New Orleans will come out on top. How about the Falcons and Cowboys? I think this game here will be high scoring. A lot of injuries for both sides of the ball. And the Cowboys with that high potent passing attack, with that young secondary for the Falcons, that spells trouble. So I could see Dak putting up some massive numbers with those receivers to go along with Zeke showing off the new tattoo. Feed me, baby, feed me. Now, I think a very interesting game will be with the Baltimore Ravens traveling to Houston today. Houston has got to find their offensive identity. So even though it's their home opener for this season, they've had a long week to prepare since they played that Thursday night game against Kansas City. Not enough time to prepare. Baltimore is they're kicking on all cylinders, 93 octane. So they will defeat the Houston Texans today. Those are my locks for this week. I hope they help someone in any type of pick 'em league. And as always, thank you to all the essential workers out there doing a great job. Continue to do a great job during this COVID-19 time. And also want to thank everybody for listening. For those who continue to listen consistently, I'm going to continue to pump out some good information. I hope everyone is really enjoying it. And like I said, I'm looking to start trying to do some live stuff now, some visually live shows. And so that's upcoming. Still trying to put everything together. Again, you can reach me at Digger Man Sports on IG. That is Digger Man Sports on IG. Follow me, shoot me a message. Be greatly appreciated. And thanks for listening this week. And be on the lookout for more Digger Man Sports. Out of here. Peace. Just making straight cookie.